Yes, hello, I am James Rowlands, and today it's a WNR 513. It's NXT update, but we've hit a roadblock. I am not alone. I have pleasure to be joined by our resident NXT expert and New Japan demigod. It is Monty. Monty, how's it going, man? What do you think of the acting? I mean, we didn't even plan that.
No, we didn't. You sound like you're in your Vic Joseph mode, you know, with the anticipation in your voice there for that one. Impressive to say the least. I'm happy to be back, as always, checking up on NXT and getting caught up. It's been an interesting ride in some ways. I can't wait to talk about some of the shifts and turns leading into Stand and Deliver, past Roadblock also, but also leading up to Roadblock. But it's always fun. I'm just ready to get into it.
That down. And I'm going to say, is it hyperbole or is this the most exciting time of year for NXT? Because, again, there's an argument for it, isn't it? You know, that this is seen by the most eyes during WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think everyone knows that it's going to be a big time show, big time event in general because it's in Philadelphia. We're back as far as the PLE schedule goes for NXT. To be into the scale. I know for a while there we were in the performance center, but we kind of just had to theme it up. And then, you know, like people, you forget just how weird the last few years have had to be in a lot of cases. But yeah, I think this one in Philadelphia, in that arena, I think they're going to be in the kind of like they usually do in a nice arena, not at the football stadium, but literally the intensity and the energy around WrestleMania week is just insane in wrestling in general, to be honest. Because like when WrestleMania happens, Philadelphia is going to make a lot of people in the wrestling business a lot of money in a few weeks, just because all the stuff that's planned around it. But Stand and Deliver, I think you're 100% right. I think everybody knows that this is big time. And it's kind of cool because I think back in the day, if you go back to the history of NXT and the takeover, they always felt like they were a showcase. It was always a big moment if you watched NXT. But I think around WrestleMania season, and as they now that Stand and Deliver has kind of established itself as like the WrestleMania for NXT, to feel the difference in energy around NXT's booking and just in general around the show, I think it's kind of cool to kind of see that, oh, okay, they're getting ready for a big event too, just like the main roster is with WrestleMania.
Well, this, again, what I like doing sometimes, and I have done for maybe the past couple of months, because I forget, Monty, because you and I have done this quite a while, and the WNR podcast have done this for a very long time. And there is a way of, you know, people have listened to update after update. So you could go back in time for updates and listen to, like, I don't know, DIY, you know, versus Authors of Pain or something like this.
Right.
But it's interesting to set the stage for people maybe listening for the first time. You know, this update is going to be very important. We're going to find out the main event for Stand and Deliver, which, of course, will be WrestleMania weekend. At this moment in time, Carmelo Hayes has gone back to his kind of, well, he is him again, and Trick Williams is nowhere to be seen. And it's going to be very, very interesting times. We've got 5 episodes to catch up on, so let's get to it. February 20th, and NXT did a rampage with the competitors in ring for our first match, which was North American Championship Robert Femi versus Lexus King, and Oba squashed him in, for me, a somewhat of a surprise. Von Wagner told Stone not to bother with King, but he marched towards the ring anyway. That's going to end well for him, isn't it? Backstage, Jane would not take any blame for Hale's date with Riley Osborne going wrong. Grace tried to give Hale advice, but was shut down. Valkyrie Ice taking Paxley to stay in the back no matter what. Andre Chase, Duke Hudson interrupted Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, followed by Nathan Frazer at the Naxxum. Took an intervention by general manager Ava to set up the argument, setting up a number one contendership match for later. Baron got the You Deserve It chance and Spear of Days chance as well. First thing I'm going to ask you, Monty, again, Spear of Days, whatever you want to call them, Wolf Dogs, but Baron getting You Deserve It chance. Who would have thought it, eh? You know, this is working.
Yeah, man, I love everything about it, to the point to where I got the wife to watch a couple episodes with me over these episodes, and she was just taken aback almost by some of the back, which we'll get into, I guess, a little bit, but like some of the backstage segments that they've done after this, you know, just how much satire or just how much fun they seem to be having. And she came away, not so much as with Baron. I think she always kind of knew that Baron can be good when he was talking wise. But I think with Braun, I think that's something that I didn't notice until she brought it up. Like, Braun is also really benefiting from this. Like, you're 100% right. Baron Corbin, him getting that reaction for people to care this much about him. When you think about where he was, not only just when he was whatever, you know, not bum ass, but happy, when he was happy Corbin, when he was happy Corbin, but even if you want to talk about bum ass or King, any other name that he ever given, you, like you said, he seems furthest away from ever being someone who seemed like he would be getting his flowers, but he deserves it. And I think what we talked about, some of his comments he said outside of NXT about how he didn't look at NXT as a demotion, how it's reinvigorated his career. He's even mentioned that on television now, to the point to where you can just see it, everything about it. He's loving what he's doing. And I think the fans feel that too. And I think that's why he's kind of getting more attention now than he's ever got, really, to be honest. This has probably been his best run in general since his initial NXT run, to be honest. But Baron Corbin, but Bron Breakker is also benefiting. That's what I love the most about this too, because you're getting to see some of his chops and some of his personality. Some of that stuff you didn't really get a chance to see when he was the dominating babyface, and even when he originally became badass Bron Breakker. I believe his personality playing off Corbin has done wonders in this tandem, something that you didn't really see coming. I don't know if you saw it coming, but I know I didn't. But I think it's benefited them bothly tremendously, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And something else I didn't see come in with the change in attitude of Roxanne Perez. And of course, she warned everyone that she was done playing by the rules until she got her title back. She then made quick work of Rent Sinclair. We get another mystery video package shown, full of message. Men deny their truth. I will be a mirror to it. I wonder who this could be. Like, we will find out, but maybe not as big a surprise as I thought it was going to be. Anyway, Noam Dar tried to focus on Legends match later, but no quarter. Catch Crew arrived again to challenge the Scottish Supernova next week. We've got former NXT UK Tag Team Champions collide as Josh Briggs beat Brooks Jensen. Jensen came out to new music and, much like him, lacked much personality. Monty, what do you think? What do you think of the battle of the two guys that killed NXT UK?
You can't blame them. They did not single-handedly did. I know that's what it felt like symbolically, maybe. Well,
it's just a coincidence, isn't it? Like, you know, right.
It is a coincidence. You know, so what did I make of this match, or just what I think of them in general?
Just,
I think
that's two different things. This match, the story they're kind of going with as well, because I've done to talk about it again.
Right, got you. Yeah, the match itself was fine. You know, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, like you said, they definitely both got, it depends on your overall, like, how do you really care about them in general? And I'm never going to lie, like, they ever really interest me other than maybe making me chuckle every now and then. I see the vision with a Briggs because he got the body type that WWE likes. You know what I'm saying? He's a smash mouth guy. But obviously, I feel like if they thought he was more than that, then I don't think, if they thought he was more than what he showed us so far, I don't necessarily think he would still be messing around with Brooks Jensen. And, you know, I feel like that's my whole thing. After watching this, I was like, okay, well, they got this out the way, so maybe they can all finally do their own thing. Because I think that's probably been my main issue with Jensen so far, is that he's been, you know, they pretty much split this team up two updates ago. And he's still chasing around like a sad puppy and, you know, and all of that. And so maybe this will finally give him something else to do. But, yeah, I don't really think much of Jensen as much. I think he's solid in the ring. You know, the gear seems to be old school inspired, I guess. That's kind of cool. I don't have much to say
about him. There's nothing about Brooks Jensen that is just.
And I think that's unfortunate for him, because that's something that you just can't buy. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the same thing I feel like with Von Wagner. Von Wagner is a big guy. But the fact that he's been in development, and the only thing I still got to say about him first is Von Wagner's a big guy. That tells you everything.
I'm
you
sure
know?
That character will develop in this update. Who knows?
Who knows, man?
I'm gonna have more questions for you in a minute, because Dijak traps Joe Gacy in a glass room. Luca Crucifano warned him about the legality of his actions, but Hard Justice only believed in his law. Right,
he's snitching.
So, when did Dijak add the cell to his office? And again, why is he getting an office when usually it's a locker room? And also, when did Luca get a key? You know, when did that happen?
So many questions. So many valid questions, dude. That's the problem. It's like, these are valid questions that I do not believe we got any. I don't think I have any clear explanation for you at all for why. But, you know, the whole thing is, like I said, I've been wondering how the hell Dijak got his own office. I guess he is the law of some sort when he got an office and a cell. Like, he got to have some type of authority if they pretty much let them do that. But this is very interesting, though. I must say, this is very interesting from the standpoint, not so much. It's interesting because it made sense from a story standpoint when it comes to the nonsense. that everything him and Dijak have going on. Gacy and Dijak, it's nonsense, but it's a good kind of nonsense. Now, as far as the lawyer being there, other than Dijak calling him a snitch on Twitter, I have no explanation for why specifically Luca had a key. I don't know. But this is what we love. This is what we love. Moments like this is when you be like, you know what? This is what we love. We love NXT.
You can see why Dijak has stayed in NXT if they're paying him an office.
Yes.
And
he got an
cell.
Office. What would he do? Why would I ever want to get called up? I got that stroke.
We see Carmelo Hayes headed back to the barbershop, explaining he got Trick Williams before Trick got him. He then told Ilya Dragunov to put his NXT championship on the line if he wanted to talk again. This is excellent. This is Carmelo Hayes, Monty, just as we want him, you know? Like, I'm going to make the most of this.
I agree. You know, and I think that's him, like you said, that's him at his best right there. As good as he can be, I believe, as somebody you can get behind, I think we both have seen or have noticed just in his NXT run so far that the best Melo so far is this confident, this cocky version of himself that he has been throughout his run, and I think what he's doing right now was great. Now, I will say, as a Trick fan, as a Trick and Melo fan at that, hearing him say some of those things was like, God, he really going for it. You know, it really, I saw some people on Twitter like calling Melo a monster, but that's also how I knew it worked. It's really working. And their relationship worked, because we know how close they always kind of seem. So for him to say those detached type of things that he kind of said about Trick Williams, to kind of put in perspective how he really feels, he looks like, if he's not, as a matter of fact, I think he is. Right now in NXT, he's pretty much the top villain, if you ignore Dijak kidnapping and murdering and almost trying to murder
Dijak's
one guy.
Busy
but yeah.
Extensions,
like. Him and Gacy are in their own universe. You know, we don't even pay attention to them right now. But yeah, Melo is definitely top villain saying stuff like this. And at the barbershop where him and Trick many a time put down opponents together, you know?
But the only thing he did wrong here was poke the dragon, or the mad dragon as it was, because Dragunov responded by warning Melo that he would make him pay. And Ilya is soul hunting.
Terrifying.
That's what he's taking.
He's
going to
take
Melo's soul.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. You would not want to get on the wrong side of him. Anyway, Ariana Grace versus JC Jane with Fia Hale and Jasmine Nix. Are you kidding me with this? Nix attacked Ariana outside, setting up JC to win. So three faces to beat a heel then. And now Fia unwanted. I don't know. Let's go to the non-wrestling portion again. It's Tony D, of course. He doesn't want the tag titles back because that would mean wrestling. But he decides in his restaurant to do things his way. He's going to be the Don. Oh, boy. Well, more Chase U next. Yay. And number one contendership, Nathan Frazier and Axton versus Chase U. Duke Hudson was dominant man in this fight, but Andre Chase, who had to step up, and Frazier isolated Chase. Professor shocked him with roll-up for the victory. And afterwards, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson attacked all four men, standing tall over the top teams in NXT. They warned their NXT, as long as they wanted to be, well, as long as they're not booked on the main roster, I suppose, and they would do what they wanted to do. So, again, I'm not saying WWE admitting that Gallows and Anderson maybe need a little bit of a reboot, but isn't it good that NXT can do that nowadays, and mostly in part to Baron Corbin?
I was just about to say, like, we were just talking about Baron. I'm like, we got to give Baron more flowers, I guess, because, you know, maybe even a Ziggler, but I think since what the end result of Ziggler, we don't give it to Ziggler. You want the Baron Corbin, you know what I mean? You don't want the Apollo Crews version either, because he got drafted and just went back to nothing. Poor Apollo, man. Went to NXT, did the rebrand, put over some people, and back to doing nothing, I see. But definitely. You got to give props to Corbin, because I feel like he's giving off this air that you can go to NXT, you can start over, and you can be worth something again. I do agree with you. I think, you know, whether they wanted to admit it or not, because, like, you can be honest and say, well, damn, you can just give Gallows and Anderson a tag match on SmackDown if you want to just build them, rebuild them. No, they realize that they need fresh opponents. They need fresh everything, honestly. They just need to be refreshed. And I feel like that's what this really felt like to me. And I'm not going to say I'm opposed to it, because it is value in Karl Anderson and Gallows. Even at this stage, I know that what they have been capable of in the past, but I do think putting over talent, being here for young talent, young tag teams, I think that's something that they can do. So whether it's for them or it's just to help others, I don't think there's anything wrong with this. But
I'd take in my throat there, because if they put over talent like they did in Impact, I think we're all going to be in trouble. I'll get onto that in a little bit.
We're not going to talk about Impact. That never happened.
Yeah, Ridge Holland explained in a pre-taped interview he did not deserve to be judged for what he did to Gallus. He promised to apologise next week. Oh, but at least he's not with Gallus. Like, to be fair, I mean, they've gone. You know,
disappeared.
He's in a new game. Hale and Fallon Henley bonded in the locker room over the recent troubles with men. Tell me about sister. Lash Legend beat Kalani Jordan. Kiana James and Izzy Dame tried to pick up the scraps afterwards, but Jordan fought them off and headed up the ramp. Then NXT Women's Championship, Liv Valkyra versus Shotzi. Well, they barely got things going before Shotzi landed badly on an apron DDT. We could see by Impact, you know, it's one of these moves. It looks bad, you know, but in a kind of different way. It's really weird. But anyway, Ava said, look, we're on live TV. Something's going to happen. They grabbed Lash Legend. And again, they made the best of a bad situation with Lyra getting a win. I mean, fair play to both of them. Roxanne Perez was showing a TV. She realized Legend had skipped her in line for a time.
Oh, I love that so much, man.
Again, the whole thing, this is live TV. You can hear, and I know we shouldn't say his name, but it's like, this is live TV, pal. You know?
Right. Exactly. Word for word. we know that motto, man. The show goes on, you know?
Without a doubt.
I love that backstage part, though. I just loved it. Whoever thought was like, because, I don't know how much this is the original plan. Maybe the original plan was for Shotzi to just lose, and maybe after the fact. I don't even know if they were going to do a backstage segment like that. But just to show Roxanne getting out of the shower to explain why she wasn't the one who couldn't answer the open challenge. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was genius. And then for her to be frustrated like she rightfully should be. Not only did Shotzi take a shot in from her point of view, again, you have Lash Legend just showing up. And whether it made sense, by the way, shout out to Lash Legend. I thought she did great to work two matches for somebody. Again, we talk about it all the time. I know you credit Briggs and Jensen for NXT UK, but I've noticed you left Lash Legend out because she obviously had nothing to do with the NXT.
She had her own problems. Like, that's not...
Right. Right. But, yeah, anyway, Lash, I got to give her kudos for showing up here. It was solid stuff from everyone involved. But, yeah, I really feel bad for Shotzi. I hate, you know, because come to find out that was a real serious injury there. And like you said, you kind of tell something, you know, was wrong. But I love how they kind of picked up the pieces and just kind of went with something that also told a story in line with what we're going to see later on in the Women's Championship feud. I love that because it ended up working in their favor, even though you know that that was not the plan. Yeah.
And again, it wouldn't be an NXT update if a woman didn't tear her ACL, you know? Like,
yeah, we're
again,
on a roll, brother.
We really are.
A very bad roll.
February 27th, an NXT champion started the show and wants Mello. But, of course, Hayes refused to get the ring with Lita unless a contract was signed for the NXT Championship match. He gave the Mad Dragon until the end of the night to figure it out. Melo's security was around the ring, and predictably, Ilya smashed them. But I think the bigger news is that Booker is back, our commentator of the year. I mean, thank fuck. I think Byron Saxton would have NXT UK'd us.
Yeah, shout out to Byron, man. I don't know how he keeps... I know I'm in a disrespect, so that's why I had to say shout out. But, like, man, Byron is Teflon around there. So keep your job, my brother, because they obviously don't think you're a good commentator. I can't say that you're the most interesting, but I know they've had worse, too. You know what I mean? That's what I feel like with Byron. I think that's the thing about Byron. He's passable. And I think that's why it's easy to ignore him.
He can backstage interviewer. You want that? Done. You know, ring announcer because you're not allowed women in Saudi Arabia? Done.
Right.
You know what I mean? Press conference? Done.
Like, great. You're great at that. Exactly. Engine,
you know, done.
Exactly. But for weekly, every time, every television, dealing with you, and then, like I said, his chemistry, that's another thing. Vic plays off really well off people with character, you know, like the relationship with him and Booker, the relationship with him and Barrett, so... You know, again, I feel like it's just hard to kind of do that when Vic is giving off more personality, and even though you're supposed to be in the color role now. You know what I mean? It's tough. It's tough, but, you know, we're back. We're good. We're in a good space again. We got Book back.
NXT General Manager Ava booked Juju Dolan and Jada Parker for late with the night after both asked to speak about the future. Kiana James beat Kiana Jordan. The prodigy raised backstage about missing out on a title opportunity to Lash Legend. Jackson mocked her, setting up a match. Gallows and Anson beat Malik Blade and Idris Anofi. After Chase and Hudson, as well as Fraser and Axiom, demanding a shot.
Remember I said they were going to be NXT tag champions? Remember I said that? Malik and Blade? Okay, we'll just move on.
No, that's fine. Again, at least they're featured. You know, like, that's the thing about Blade and Anofi. Until they turn on each other. Then we're in trouble.
Right.
Team. The LWO arrived to attack Gallows and Anderson because why not? We're not sure what brand they're on either. As they all sent the OC running with Corbin and Bron watching from the aftermath on the stage with matching sunglasses. They refused to be intimidated by the OC. And again, this is another little thing that they're doing which just makes them likable. I'm going to say it, you know. And again, it really does work at the moment. We see Ilya and Obafemi come face-to-face in Ava's office. How small did the NXT champion look, Monty? I mean, he came up to, like, Obafemi's midsection. This was incredible. Like, how tall is Obafemi? Like, 8'2"?
Yeah, no. Oba makes a lot of people look small, but definitely he looks small by comparison, man. He's a giant. That's a giant brother right there, Obafemi. But I will say this. This is also what I love about him. As small as he looked, I did not take him any less serious that he would try to fight Oba. You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. That's what makes Ilya so great is that, he looks like, you look at it like he don't have a shot. But we know that it won't be an easy fight if they was to do that. I love the teaser. Like, two of the baddest, if not the two baddest people in NXT right now. It's just like, even if it's nowhere near in the future, I just love the thought process of just showing, just letting them, you know, oh, okay, yeah. you're building up the steam, but I'm the guy. But yeah, you're 100% right, man. Oh my goodness, feel me. You just JR used to call a lot of guys a specimen. I already know what he would be calling Obafemi, man.
He's a horse. That's how big he is, a big horse. After what happened earlier, Roxanne Perez beat Jacoba Jackson. Fia Hale was unhappy about her bad date. Jess Jane told her to get over the losers and chase you before walking off with Kiana James. What? So hang on a minute. Jane put all the work in to say chase you. Bro. But then after, she could have taken it all away, but yet was like just losers afterwards. What the fuck?
Like, and then make Nyx, who, by the way, like I told my wife, I was like, yo, I don't know much about this girl, but you can't tell me they ever gonna book her like she's smart. Because, like, you know what I mean? You know Jace's history, and then you see what she's doing to Thea, like, you are any better, or, like, so you just a bad person, I guess, is my only character development I can give for you, because you just look like an idiot watching her do this to Thea and think you're gonna be done any better based on Jace's history. But then, like you said, it just don't make any sense. Why did you even waste your time to build all that money up for the school just for your overall point of view? To be, I just feel like they're doing it too fast. Like, I honestly, you guys have been dragging along forever with whatever you wanted to do with this story when it came. You've been dragging this along a long time. So I really, honestly, it's sad, but as much as I wouldn't want you guys to keep it going, this is the one time where you probably should have dragged it a little bit longer at least. So we can believe that Jason was, you know what I mean? Like,
it didn't cost him anything. Didn't cost it him didn't. Chase you, the titles, an opportunity. Like, there was no...
Just losers.
Nothing. Just, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm with you, man. It's just, and then, I don't get it. This whole entire thing with pulling this trigger with Thea right now just made no sense to me.
What kind of perverse, weird multiverse are we in where the Chase You storyline is kind of fast forward and Dijak is on a winning streak, you know, because he beat Luca Quintanilla. I mean, don't get me wrong, Luca looked good, but what the fuck's going on? Joe Gacy arrived, still wearing the straitjacket, but managed to escape Dijak's dungeon, I suppose, which is added onto the office. Crucifano dumped Dijak outside, of course, a brawl between Dijak and Gacy to the back. Crucifino slipped a crowbar behind the steel steps. Tony D told Chan and Stacks to remember that and go get him, which might be different advice to what he's thinking. Dijak yelled at Ava about Gacy until Gacy attacked him again. It was announced it was an asylum match, or asylum, as people would say. And again, this is interesting, you know. we'll get to that match. Anyway, Dar was on Edge backstage. Well, to start, he don't care who he beats, but still. We get the women's champ, Prono Valkyrie, promised a title shot to Shotzi when she returned. Lyra brought out Tate and Paxley to announce that the two would team together to challenge Oscar and Kairi Sane for the Women's Tag Team Championship next week. Whoa, where the fuck did that come from? What have we missed a month, Monty? Is there something that we're not... Is there a couple of episodes?
It's a good point, man. It seems pretty fast-tracked. I honestly believe what happened was it was like, it's roadblock. We need a big match. There's not a title match. For Lyra, I guess that's what it feels like. You just feel like they thought that'd be a good way to give us a competitive match, interesting type of contest. But I'm with you. It just kind of came out of nowhere. Not that I'm ever opposed to seeing, you know, Kyrie and Oscar. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I love them, but yeah, exactly. The how much sense this make in the grand scheme? Yeah, not much.
What's even Lyra going like? Tatum, you know, you followed me all the time. I think you'd be a good tag partner. Come on, let's go for the gold. The old bunny was like, wow, that went on quick. But anyway, move on to another surprise. Ridge Holland interrupted to attempt an apology in a real cuntish way. He did it his way.
Horrible. Did he interrupt the women, by the way?
Yeah. walked straight out
the room.
He was going like, you ladies, if you don't like it, just walk out. You go, I'll go to talk. He attempted an apology. Instead, the lights went out. Another message of revealing truth showed in a Titantron before Sean Spears made his return, the chairman blasting Holland with a steel chair. I mean, Holy fucking shit. I don't know what I'm more surprised about, Monty. The fact that the videos were for Sean Spears, or the fact it is Sean Spears. What I mean by that, rather than like Ty Dillinger, but again, it's... I think I'm more interested. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely more interested because let's just be honest. I mean, when he was Ty Dillinger, they never went anywhere with it. And then if you go back to what the chairman and even when he was in AEW, what he was doing, you know, besides the Cody angle at the very beginning, and I know some injuries and certain things happened for him also too in that run, he didn't do a whole lot in AEW. So the potential, if it was any potential for this chairman character, was kind of left on the back burner as AEW started to grow and get more talent. So, you know, now in NXT back and with a completely different viewpoint and all that, I'm with you. I'm way more interested to see what he can do because, you know, even when the shocking thing kind of happened, you can see a lot of teens, a lot of people posting. So a lot of people weren't, you know, they were definitely kind of happy to see him, even if it was shocking. And I think this is also a lesson for wrestling fans, especially if you frequent the internet, just because something seems a certain type of way and you're looking at rumors. Because I already know if you were coming in this and you thought that message was for Okada, which I never said that. I
might have put him in my dream stand and deliver card, but I didn't. I apologize.
But no, I don't blame you because again, it literally had like Japanese proverbs. I wouldn't have thought of Sean. I know that much. That's all I was saying. Like it had stuff that seemed like it was something, but it may, you know, it's fine. And then if you go off what the quotes of what he's trying to do, what it makes sense, and then he's doing it to a guy like Ridge Holland. I'm gonna be honest with you. So far, Ridge Holland's story is in the area of how I feel about Chase U right now. Well, I'm just like, okay, can we get where are we going with this? I don't really care as much anymore because Ridge needs what I'm trying to say. He needs a Sean Spears or somebody to liven this up because I don't know. Right? Where are we going? Exactly. Like, where are we going with this? So I think we need him to fight somebody, team up, whatever it is they're leading up to with him and Sean Spears. It's got to be better than the prodding alone that we've been doing in this story. So from a storyline perspective, I'm excited.
Well, the other thing I would really like as well, if Spears can do it, if he's got like a problem with his... Not to make an issue with people with, like, you know, mental health or anything like this, but even personality-wise, he could be the chairman. And maybe he can switch if he's like a face kind of perfect 10 and then come back when it's like, you know, someone pushes him too much. Not like a demon type, but do you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
It gives him more space.
Like, we all know he could kind of go off a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got you.
How is Brooks Jensen bigger than Obafemi? What the fuck is going on?
Height. He's just tall.
I was like, how tall is he a dragon off then? Like, is it not? What the fuck is going on? Anyway, the dumb fuck challenged the North American champion. We see Spears cutting a strange promo in the parking lot, talking about giving Holland the truth. And then Brian Pillman Jr. followed. Well done, AEW. Unfortunately, Lexus King is in a bit of trouble. He faced Von Wagner, who won for the first time in months. Afterwards, King attacked the knee of Wagner and then took out Stone with a combination through frustration. So the match did actually nothing for no one, if you think about it. Anyway, Dolan and Parker asked Ava about their match future. Ava booked him in a match. We spoke about Parker mocked Lyra, Tatum, and Grayson Lothroom just before. As Grace said, we are champions in our minds and our hearts. Anyway, Gigi Dolan versus Jada Parker. Grace tried to convince both of them to start fighting after a physical opening, or stop fighting. Gigi Dolan laid out Grace, but distraction allowed Jada Parker to pick up the win with a running low forearm strike. Heritage Cup, Noam Dar versus, well, it was Charlie Dempsey revealed himself as Dar's opponent right for the bar at the bell. Dempsey caught the Scottish Supernova with a surprise bridging pin for the first fall in round one. And in round four, Dar ran over Dempsey and landed no roller to tie it up. No court catch through. All got involved with Jack Dar and Aura Mensah in the fifth round. Set up Dempsey to win with a bridging dragon suplex. The new Heritage Cup champion, Charlie Dempsey. But I'm so sad it's over. You know, I was just like Booker. I actually paused it on Booker's face when Dar did lose. And it really is. And again, I don't want to talk shit here, but this is an end of an era, Monty, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I think you know, the thing is about it, you know, as great as awesome as the cup matches were in the Noam Dar style, you know, I think, like you said, it's definitely the end of an era. It's the end of just something that you kind of become accustomed to. Something, it's also one of those last things, not that Charlie having it changes the history of the Heritage Cup, but it's also like, I think for me and you personally, because we watched NXT UK at a time when it was about to die, we got a chance to see Noam Dar put in a lot of their work and a lot of the guys around the stuff with Coffee and just, you know, Frazier. He had great matches all around the cup for a while, A-Kid. And just even that tournament that led to crowning Noam and all of that, you know, I just remember, I have fond memories of all of that. And it's all connected to Noam Dar being Mr. Heritage Cup and bringing that to NXT and not knowing whether or not a lot of the North American audience, how would they feel about this different style of match and all of that. And to kind of see how he's gotten that over, gotten Metaphor over. You know what I mean? He's done everything that you can do as someone who's trying to establish a new match style, a new format, a new championship. So after thinking about it, I was positive. And then guess what? The icing on top. It went to somebody. It went even. I don't like the catch rules things. I wish it was just Charlie's, but it went to Charlie Dempsey, which is, I can't ever complain about somebody that me and you both have can see the potential in someone that I'm hoping his appearance in Japan and just in general, just because of who he is and just how he wrestles, his heritage, that we won't see big things for him. And I think a good first step, especially when you think about who the champions are in NXT right now, I think a big first step, a great first step for Dempsey to climb himself up the NXT ranks is holding on to the cup. So I hope he ends up in more of the matches than the rest of the crew, to be honest. I love Dempsey being the one to win here. But it's definitely the end of an era. And let's see what Noam Dar can get into now that he, you know, seemingly is out of this cup division.
Well, that doubt was great for Charlie Lowe. And then we move on to the contract signing, Melo and Ilya, and Carmelo looked confident until Tony D arrived. Melo's security walked off, clearly paid off by the Don. And it's those bits that make the character quite good. It's just that none of the in-ring stuff. But anyway, he wanted the NXT Championship shot and revealed that the contract was Tony D versus Melo next week in a number one contendership match. Mad Dragon agreed to the terms, but Melo was unhappy. Ilya wanted Tony to whoop that Melo. Again, I will argue this with you, Monty, at one point in time, that Ilya loves Trick more than Melo ever did. Anyway, before the signing, Hay sent D'Angelo into Dragunov and then sent Tony D through the table. But the big question I have for you is, can Tony D step up? Because we wondered who, I mean, again, no spoilers for Roadblock, but to be involved in this situation with so much kind of emotion and talent with Trick, Ilya and Melo, it's a big ask.
Yeah, and I couldn't wait to kind of hear what you thought too, because I know you generally, not saying, I don't know how you, if you come around, but like you kind of just mentioned it, you don't really have, I'm not going to say I have a high standing of D'Angelo, but I don't think he's bad in the ring. I just also, like you said, he hasn't really done much to prove that he's definitely on any of these guys' level, like even with Trick. What he's been able to do with Dragunov has been special. And then you think about the reaction Trick gets. You know, I know D'Angelo's nowhere near that. And then you have, like I said, the intensity. Now, to me, I think this is going to ride on that fact that, do you believe Dragunov can get a believable performance out of anybody? And I think that, I know Dragunov is going to bring it, but I think that's going to be the real challenge. It's just like, now that he's at fighting at this level, Can he match that energy the same way? We knew what Melo off talent could do, but he also matched him physically too in a couple of those fights. Trick Williams, again, we was really unfamiliar with what he could do as far as like hanging with Dragunov. But not only did he match him with his athleticism, he also seemed to bring a lot of physicality as those fights went on too. So again, you have to have that believability to, in my opinion, to really fight with a guy like Dragunov. And that's the thing. Do you think D'Angelo can do that? I'm with you, though. I'm like, I'm really unsure. I don't know. He hasn't shown me enough of it yet. But it's gonna, a lot is riding on. This is a big spot to be involved in this. Like you said, we were wondering who could be that guy. You even put Okada here. If you just think about how big of this spot was, if you see what I'm trying to say, you thought about putting a main event guy like Okada in this position. So you know that this is one of the biggest, you know, spots there is. And so he's going to have to bring it. He's going to have to show us that he's capable of doing it. And I'm really, I think this is a proving ground. Honestly, I think that's what this is all about. Like, as much as we think the gimmick is goofy and all of that, he's going to have to show us that in the ring, he can be somebody that's even mentioned in Dragunov's, you know, breath, you know, in his league. And can he be mentioned in that? That's what he's going to have to show us.
He's got to be believable, you know, like I said, to put the punishment to the air. And it's going to be tough. And again, he might not even get there because we've still got Roblox coming up. But the thing is with Tony D, and I think the problem with Ia, with Melo, and with Trick at the moment as well, is that they are, and I will say, levels above the other single stars in NXT. I mean, because with Bron, they've kind of, you know, right, you're a tag team now, you know, they've got other plans. And again, like I said, rather than new talent, like even with Sean Spears, if he was put in that spot, you'd probably think, right. But again, Tony D is going to use all the kind of special tricks that he can. So we'll see what happens. So we'll move on. March 5th, Roblox, Alexis King with the opening video. And I bet that's what he dreamed of doing when he was a boy. I bet he said, one day I'm going to do the opening video to an NXT special. First match, Asylum match, Dijak versus Joe Gacy. It's basically still a cage with loads of weapons about. Dijak brutalized Joe Gacy inside the cage using every weapon available. He delivered a huge moonsault off the top of the cage, though he may have low-blowed himself on landing. Hard Justice trapped Gacy in a straitjacket and wrapped duct tape around his face for rival in revenge for the first match. And they took a pair of feaster eyes to finally put his rival away. I mean, Dijak's gift is that he just keeps on giving. But I think credit to Gacy here as well.
100%. This is, again, I think this whole entire feud has really brought out a side of Gacy that I think has really been beneficial for him. It's like I mentioned earlier. You know, not to say that any of his gimmicks so far has leaned into any of this, but if you thought what he was doing originally was reminding you of Bray Wyatt, well, I think what he's doing now is a very nice hybrid of what they would have in Ambrose / Moxley do at times, and then what you kind of got from Mick Foley at times, just kind of being deranged, liking pain, liking being in uncomfortable situations, but also making that fun somehow. And the thing is about characters like that, you can always twist it and make Gacy go another way. You can also make him be aggressive when you want to. But I love the fact that they kind of saved a career that, I'm not saying he was fledgling, but, you know, the diet, you know, we know where Grizzly Young Vets are. Ava's not even wrestling, I don't think, anymore at this point. And now we have where Gacy. So Gacy was pretty much left all alone. You know, he is the tree now. So it's kind of cool to see what he's been able to kind of make happen since then. And I think, again, like I said, I always kind of seen that he had the potential, but I thought some of the stuff they were having him do, like challenge for the title and all that, was just a little premature. And I think now what he's doing, especially with a guy like Dijak, and Dijak at this point, I don't know, man. I don't think it's anybody that you can put in there. If they have any talent whatsoever, I don't think you can put him in a match with Dijak for too long and he won't make him look like a million bucks. And he won't look like a million bucks himself.
Stick Tony, you know, D in there with Dijak as a warm-up. You know, like, see if you're ready. Test the waters with Dijak. Because, like you said,
I agree.
Can do... I mean, I think he
deserves a shot. I'm so happy you mentioned that because... And this is why, and I wait on when we get to the end of the night, you know, we talk about everything that went on since then, too. But I was personally hoping that Dijak, after watching this cage match, I was like, you know what? I don't care. You know, like, give me Dijak in Dragunov again. I've seen it before. I know I have. But just one last, like, let them go in there and kill each other at the end of Stand and Deliver. Just because, again, like, you can't – he's the only other guy in the ring, in my opinion, that's outside of Trick and Mello. He's the guy that I put above everybody else on the roster. but probably under where Trick and Mello and Dragunov is, if you see what I'm trying to say. He is that guy. Because even though he hasn't won all the time, he's been winning lately. But that's my point. Performances and consistency, you can't tell me he's not a top contender to take Dragunov's belt if they were to ever allow him to win in these big match situations. Right. Because I just think he's been great. And like you mentioned, he is believable. He's a guy that you don't have to convince me much at all that he could go in there and fight with Dragunov. Not only has he already done it, he has a great track record, and I'm with you. Put a guy like D'Angelo, put any of these guys in there. Like, I think Gaethje's benefiting from it. Any of these guys that you want to show, prove to me that you can go out there and do it, you got to go do it with Dijak first.
Yeah,
and I think that's where he's at.
I love that. But another thing as well, and again, people say that, oh, to me, WWE Mark or NXT, anything like this, but the schism breaking up has worked for the whole group as a whole. When you think about Ava is now general manager, Gacy is tearing it up in these types of matches, and Grizzly Young Vets in TNA at the moment are just putting on banger after banger. So fair play all round. Backstage later, Josh Briggs warned Brooks about challenger Bafemi. Dijak called Jensen a dead man walking. He's right about that. Backstage, a family named Luca Crucifino as Consigliere in a move that took longer than expected. About a year for me. He backed up challenge stacks and Lorenzo in sending a warning to Dragunov later. Fallon Henley tried to clear up issues between Fia Hale and Riley Osborne, but Blair Davenport interrupted to mock them, setting up a match later. Oh, there's Blair. NXT Tag Team Championships, Wolf Dogs versus Chase U. Breaker and Corbin came out in plastic wolf masks. Come on now. Andre Chase fought hard, but however, once Duke Hudson was wiped out, the Wolf Dogs hit the End of Days and Spear to win. Osborne, Hale, Jane, and Jasmine Nix all watched at ringside. Jane called Chase U losers behind their backs, and Hale stormed off. Hale was found attacking Keanu James and Izzy Dane backstage. I tell you what, with the amount of people ringside, though, why did no one have Chase, like C-H-A-S-E, on their jumpers? And Andre could have been the U. A missed opportunity there, guys. Come on. And I tell you something, Monty, if Bron and Baron start with matching outfits, the sky is a limit. It's just a shame the Creeds aren't in NXT at the moment, because that match would be money.
Oh, that match would be incredible. And, you know, again, I think this is the – and I never thought about this. Again, I just thought maybe Corbin gets left behind. Maybe eventually Corbin turns on, you know, however, or Braun. But, you know, they've been so great together that you – I think you mentioned this in passing about possibly having them debut together. And like, again, I know he's kind of already been debuting because he's been killing poor Zion Queen and others.
He's killing NXT talent.
Yeah.
Like, no SmackDown talent yet, but you know.
Right. Yeah. He just let you know that he's definitely better than the NXT guy. at least the ones they're choosing. But yeah, you know, the way they just work and just the way the moves that they have and just everything, how well, surprisingly well, everything goes together with them. It really led to me believing, you know what? You know, maybe, just maybe, maybe that would be a good thing, you know, debuting them together, or at least not allowing Corbin to just stay behind for whatever reason. You know, he's done a great job. I don't necessarily know what else him as a singles competitor could do, you know?
What would be great, I mean, I don't want to split up, but if they did just have Bron on the main roster and just have Baron on NXT every week and Lockham just going, oh!
Now he's a sad wolf.
Call back. Yeah. Oh, poor Baron. And the lone wolf.
Right.
Apparently, Tatum Paxley's been speaking to Ilya because she wants to take her opponent's souls as well. It must be sinking in the water. Not sure. Also, Melo promised he would go back-to-back at Stand and Deliver. You know what that means. Sean Spears versus Uriah Connors. And I can't believe Sean has his chair gimmick in NXT. It actually works. He made quick work, finishing up with a C4 with slow methodical pin. He grabbed the mic to goad Ridge Holland and begged him to use his steel chair on him, with Holland backing down. Weirdly enough, though, we should say that Connors is Brogan Finley. That's Fitz's son and younger brother to the War Dogs leader. Talk about nepotism in NXT, Monty, eh?
Man, nepotism in this business. Just go around the business. I mean, look at the top of the WrestleMania card.
Family. It's about family.
Family, 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 yeah. Family. Dynasty. We this and that. Yeah. It's a lot of that. A lot of that going on. But yeah, no, it's kind of cool, man, to see him in this spot, then going against a vet like Spears. And you know, I think if and when Dave is ever ready, because Dave has talked about this in the past, about not that he would be opposed to coming to WWE, just he's talked to them in the past. His dad has definitely tried to get him to come to America, but he wants to establish a legacy in Japan first. So I just think it's definitely going to be a lot of tampering talk if Finley goes right to WWE instead of talking to TK. But at this point, you know, like you said, man, that's just the wrestling business, man. A lot of familial, not a lot of love, a lot of family in the wrestling business. As far as Sean Spears goes with the stuff he's doing in this match, again, I'm with you. It's kind of really weird because, again, I kind of associated the name, the gimmick, the look. I kind of just associated that with what he was doing in AEW. So it's definitely weird at first, but I'm definitely interested to see how far they willing to take this. Is this just a ploy for him to eventually get Ridge on his side? Like, where are we going with this? I'm definitely interested to see just how far they take Sean Spears this time, because, you know, he said he's ready, he's fresh, and, you know, he's optimistic about this run. I can't wait to see how it goes.
Well, it's weird because, like, Sean versus Ridge is the weirdest feud of the year, and we have just had Dijak and Gacy, so, you know, like, we'll see what happens. After watching Nexus King disparage him in a video, Mr. Stone told Von Wagner that he needed to fight him on his own. Great. And then the Women's Tag Team Championship, Kabuki Warriors versus Lyra Valkyra and Tatum Paxley. Well, Lyra and Tatum look good together. Then experience proved costly. The champ accidentally hit Paxley with a roundhouse kick, setting up Paxley to take an elevated insane elbow for the loss. And even though Goldberg might not know, Oscar, of course, undefeated in NXT, and Kairi Sane, first Mae Young Classic winner and NXT Women's Champion. Man, this was some talent on the show here. And Lyra again, proving like she belonged.
Yeah, I agree. You know, again, just another proving ground again, just to see how, you see how well she fits in there with two of the greatest, not only just in wrestling in general, but like NXT, if you just go off their histories, like, I think that's kind of, that's the only thing I don't really like sometimes about when the vets, when the legends like this come back. People like Oscar and Kyrie should be talked about like Oscar, people gotta understand, she's only lost, I still don't know if she ever lost an NXT match.
she's undefeated in NXT.
Yeah, she still never returns. So like, come on, man, we gotta talk about her in the way that she's deserving, not just it's Oscar, you know, she's great. And you know, same thing with Kyrie, but you know, this was cool, and I think this was a great experience for Paxley too, who got a chance to get in there with Kyrie, do some weird spots, do some fun stuff, and I also, you know, didn't mind how things turned out, too, because like you mentioned, not only did Lyra fit in perfectly, but the finish protected everybody. You know, everybody looked legit, in my opinion, too. So this is really, really cool stuff. Like you said, very cool to see Lyra in that spot. I think Lyra is probably closer to being called up than she is to any other thing. I'm not saying, I don't know when it's coming. I'm not saying I can see it coming soon. But I'm just saying I feel like Lyra is one of those people who, we talk about it all the time when we watch NXT. You got to kind of have an eye out for who's ready, who's probably going to be on the main roster by this time, by the time we have another draft or something. And I think Lyra's a perfect choice for any brand who wants her. I think she's pretty much ready, you know, especially after this feud with Roxanne. What else is there to do other than maybe something with Tatum long term? So, but yeah, man, this is cool. This is good stuff. And like you mentioned, they were in there with two of the best. They look like they fit. You can't ask for more with the spot and everything. And she still looked like a legit NXT champion. This was cool. And what happened after the match is even better.
Well, what's crazy, though, about Lyra is, again, I weren't just wrong thinking her development was so quick. It's even like thinking she's not even in 2K24 until later in the year. You know, like, this is the crazy thing about this.
Which is insane, right?
2K did drop this week. That distracted me. And, of course, my first match was the Battle of Scottish Supermen, Dar versus Drew McIntyre. But we've both played it, and it is fun. For me, beating the fuck out of Brooks Jensen being Ilya Dragunov. I mean, man, that was the best 60 minutes I've ever spent in my life.
60 minutes?
Iron Man, isn't it? Had to be an Iron Man.
Oh, you killed him. You killed him. Yeah, man. Ilya Dragunov is so satisfying to fight with. Not that he wasn't, because I like him using him on 23 too, but the new version of him with the goatee, and I think the way they kind of updated certain things about him, he's on another level. It's so fun. The very first match I did was Melo versus Trick. So, you know, I thought that was a great way to kind of get that going. I just wanted to do it with the new ambulance match, see how that looked. And, you know, that was fun, beating the hell out of Melo. So this was cool, man. You know, throwing weapons. I'm in love with throwing weapons.
Yeah, man.
The way it just kind of so satisfying, the type of the car. It's just chaos. The chaos you
I've
get
started
into
fucking up referees and
game.
Get DQ'd, though. Like, I'm trying to fix it, and then I forget, and I'm just like, oh, fuck you.
That's the only thing I don't like about the special referee is, like, you know, you got that meter. It's like, no, I want to fuck up stuff as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, I do love it. Anyway, should go back to NXT. And afterwards, Roxanne Perez viciously attacked the Valkyrie, sending her into the steel post and hitting the diving foot stomp on her left arm. Valkyrie had to be stretched out of the building. I think the fire alarm's going off here. I'm not sure. So we're going to continue anyway.
Right. Okay. I was wondering what that was.
Yeah. I thought it was you. We're just going to continue. Blair Davenport versus Fallon Henry in a surprise return. So Ruka planted Davenport with a cartwheel DT off the barricade. Henry took advantage to win. No quarter catch crew promised to defend the Heritage Cup as a group would enter the tag team eliminator tournament to crown the contendership for the tag team titles. William Regal arrived to warn Charlie Dempsey he needs to defend the Heritage Cup with honour and the integrity of sake of British wrestling. Regal's son mocked him. That's your father, Chance erupted for Regal and Dempsey exchange words. Kind of gave it away. What do you think of Willie Regal making his return?
Man, I was just over the moon. I couldn't believe that they decided to do this. You know, it was cool to see him. I've been kind of, you know, he's been back with WWE for a while, so I was always wondering when would they pull that trigger, other than I know that what they did for the general manager spot, you know, for Ava. But, man, this was cool, man, to have his first kind of like camera interaction on just his camera interaction with Regal. And I just love the energy that he kind of get presented back towards Regal with, you know, basically, you know, I defended better than you ever could. And it was real simple, but it was nice. It was really, really cool. Nice little nod of the cap, you know, wink, wink, if you didn't even realize it, even though I think most people can tell, you know, but you know, it was just real cool. It was really cool, you know, to kind of see that perspective, see Regal kind of co-sign it. Not only that he would be the cup leader, but just co-sign the history of what the cup means to a guy like Regal, which is kind of cool, too. And adds a little layer to this run that kind of, again, it made me just go back to being like, man, I wish Dempsey had this all on his own. You know, that's the only thing I say about the segment. I was like, can these other three get out the way? Like, just get out the ring and let me just see them face-to-face it, you know, because I was way more interested in them two than anybody else. But, you know, who knows, maybe down the line we can see Regal be the reason why he leaves or, you know, take over the crew. I don't know. I think it'd be funny if he was to take over the crew because, you know, he did start the Blackpool Combat Club. So now he's in the No Quarter Catch crew. Hilarious.
Like I said, it is funny. There's still that beeping here, so if you can hear it, I'm sorry. But again, I would only run when there was a fire. Dolphildy was planning to move on to bigger and better things with Metaphor. Well, that's good then. I mean, Ariana Grace agreed to fight GD Dolan next week, but if Dolan lost, she would need to be taught by Grace how to be a proper lady. And then number one contender, Carmella Hayes with security versus Tony D. Carmella Hayes was rolling until Trick Williams' music hit. Distraction allowed Tony D to hit a single arm powerbomb and a forget about it for the victory. Afterwards, the Don admitted he set up the entrance music to play but had a present for Melo. Trick's music hit again and he arrived, taking out Melo and security until Hayes bailed. Yes, what that trick. I mean, to be fair, I would have loved him being dressed up as a guard behind Melo and attacking him, but I think they're going to get onto that. Still, great to see, and a bit of a surprise here, Monty, as well.
Yeah, man, it was cool. It was really, really cool to see the execution of this. I thought it was really well done. The match itself was solid. I thought Melo got a pretty good match out of him. I will say this, that hopefully we get to see Tony D take it to a completely different level against Dragon Ball. He's going to have to. But I think for a TV match, this was good. And I think, to be honest, the shock spot with the Trix Williams was good. And Melo's reacting. I love the way he kind of sold it. You can tell. And I think when Melo and Trix finally showed up and he just kind of he cleared up, the people were so excited. And Trix is just so over at this point. I don't think anybody noticed that he barely touched anybody when he was beating him. No one cared. I saw people in the comments on the internet talking about, oh, did he actually hit anybody? Like, and then somebody commented, who cares? Whoop that Trick. Like, literally, that's the point. Like, that's how over he is at this point. That it didn't matter that none of those shots hit anyone clean when he was hitting Melo in the corner or anything. But it all just the energy and the way the crowd was chanting it and just his energy, when you could just tell he'd been waiting and everybody's just been salivating for the moment that he would finally show up and give Melo a little bit of what he's been asking for, you know, with all the stuff he's been saying. I thought it was great. Trick looked like the biggest. Again, I think I said this multiple times over the last few months, but man, you can't tell me. Like, do you agree? Like, Trick is the biggest star by far. Oh, wow, yeah, you just like, go off the way he feels and the way the crowd reacts.
Again, even in, like I said, I know in the Full Sail, you know, the arena, but everybody was on their feet. Everybody wanted Trick to be there. Everybody loved him, you know. Like I said, everybody, as soon as he showed up, they forgot about everything else. And again, this is my argument that I was going to say to you anyway, that Trick and Melo need to be main event of Stand and Deliver because they will not give a fuck about Tony D and Nia, I think, after we see that. You know, I think that's the only way Tony D and Nia can maybe survive. Even as like an opening match, I still think Perez and Valkyra match means more as well.
Say that again.
About to say, like, Melo and Trick need to be main event, you know.
I think even with Tony D, and I think we can talk about some of the stuff that they're trying to establish with Tony D as far as character work or as just far as being on Dragon Off level, it's hard for me to believe. Honestly, I was thinking about Jay and Jimmy, because I was like, Jay and Jimmy may need a stipulation. I just feel like it's been so long, all the stuff that's been going on in the Uso feud, why not give them some type of stipulation to make them fight? It just feels like it. And I thought that for this one, but I was like, you know what, honestly, as much as I would love a stipulation for this match, it also don't really need it. They've never fought before. It's fresh. You know what I'm saying? But the heat there, and like you said, the energy and how much time they put into telling this betrayal story, it definitely feels like you said, this should be the main event. By far the biggest stars on the brand and the biggest and best story that they've told over the last however many months. So, yeah, I'm with you. Definitely need to be main event.
Yeah, without a doubt. We'll move on March 12th. And breaking news, the NXT Tag Team Champions Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin will defend against the winners of a Triple Threat number one contendership match. The Triple Threat qualifiers LWO versus OTM. Despite taking multiple shortcuts, Bronco, Nima and Lucian Price could not put this match away. We get another great dive. And Joking Wild hitting assist with Springboard 450 Splash on Nima for the win. We see Breakker and Corbin taunting LWO from the stage after the finish. Roxanne Perez explained she attacked Lyra Valkyra because the champion ignored her after she was screwed out of a title shot. Reportedly demanded Ava award her the NXT Women's Championship for the general manager could explain the plan for the title. Tate Paxley jumped out the crowd. Officials had to restrain her. Ilya Dragunov found Tony D at his restaurant. I mean, where else? He wasn't going to be in the ring, was he? To warn him that he would never lose his NXT Championship. The family dragged the Mad Dragon into a trunk. Don took Dragunov to a bridge, showing the power he has over the champion. He left him to walk home. I mean, to be fair, Tony's wrestled his match for the month, so I kind of need to go back to the kidnapping. And apparently, after this, Monty, you might not know, Tony tugged on Superman's cape and then spat in the wind. Interesting.
I guess that's a, like you said, a very colorful way of putting what actually happened there. You know, again, this is the thing about it, and I'm not opposed to it because I knew it was going to happen. But I think me and you both kind of, not that we soured on any backstage vignette, because this is NXT, there's a ton of vignettes. But, you know, when it comes to Tony D, this is how they do their storytelling. They love to do these type of dramatic, drawn-out, you know, type of things. And I didn't have a problem with it. I thought Dragunov actually matched the energy of the segment pretty well. You know, again, all of these segments usually are acted out. I think we both agree. They acted out pretty well. It's just like when you're thinking about it in the terms of a wrestling title feud, do you deem all of this extra grandstanding necessary? But, hey, it's Tony D. At this point, we're used to it. And I think that's the part of me that's like, man, I kind of would prefer Dijak in this spot. Not because of anything that D'Angelo does. It's just like, do I even want to entertain D'Angelo taking the NXT title and then making it this every month or PLE or whatever, or special show, we're going to have weeks of backstage and just extra things that you don't necessarily need when you got a guy like a Dragunov there as champion, or when you have even what Trick is going to do later. I think he can carry himself more in a traditional sense than having a whole bunch of this every time. And I think if D'Angelo was to take the belt, we might get more of this instead of less. But I don't mind. It was a logical first step. But I do say this. Dragunov ain't the guy I want to put in my trunk. And I was surprised that he didn't just lunge at him on the bridge. that ain't a guy I'm trying to kidnap. I don't know how good that's going to fare for Mr. D'Angelo.
Right, well, up next, Lexus King versus Mr. Stone. And my favorite entrance in NXT bar Trick and Aaliyah and Melo. But then again, I digress. Mr. Stone threw everything at King. Oh, no, wait. It was his jacket he threw. But that was the only time Von Wagner's manager had the edge in this fight. King defeated Stone with the coronation. Afterwards, Wagner ran out to carry Stone away before King could hurt him anymore. I like all three, but who cares, you know? I hope Ridge has a more responsible parent than his partner who made her daughter stay up until 2 a.m. to ring her dad. I mean, you know, I know, Monty, you're a new parent and stuff, but don't force your child to stay up to ring their dad in America. You know, there's a time difference.
Thank you. That changed my entire concept of that video package, because I knew where I just didn't know exactly specifically where they were from. So it's like, he's talking about go to bed. It's 2 a.m. So his wife pulls her out of her sleep to shoot that
scene. Mommy, I'm tired. Shut up. It's not halfway through NXT yet. Your dad's going to ring. Oh, my word.
My goodness.
Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, as well as Hank and Tank, cut promos of one another. The Wolf Dogs hyped up Hank and Tank, as they would. North American Championship, Obafemi versus Brooks Jensen. And I'm bringing the jokes. A pair of power bombs sealed it. But looks like Briggs, who still likes Jensen, and Dijak are next in line. Let's go, Dijak. We got GD Donan versus Yarmolenko Grace. And Grace used multiple tricks throughout this match. After distracting referee with a tiara, she hit Gigi with a low blow. Dolan responded with one of her own, but the referee caught it. Disqualified Dolan. I'll tell you what, though, Grace's sell of the low blow was legendary. Dolan must now learn from Grace how to be a proper lady. I smell a tag team, Monty.
Yep, an odd couple. I'm with you. I see it now. An odd couple. They're going to come together. By the way, why did they take the NXT women? Jimmy, we got so many women now, so many odd couples and, you know, and pairings out of nowhere. You know, you got Izzy and I think it's Kiana's with Izzy, and then you got the other girls with JC, and then you got... Anyway, we definitely seem like we need a tag team.
We need tanks.
Right.
Well, we got Katrina Petrovic and Lola Vice, and then he started fighting in the locker room. Brindley Reese wished Soa Ruka luck for the match. Kiana James and Izzy Dane versus Via Hale. And, well, it was Kalana Jordan who found laid out right before the match. Fallon Henley arrived to help Via Hale. However, poorly timed help from JC Jane cost the faces the match, setting up Hale to take the deal breaker for the loss. I kid you not, this is harder than the Japanese names, Monty. I mean, what can we do about this, you know? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I have no clue. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not even going to lie. Like, it's nothing we can do. It's they just throwing them at the wall.
Honestly,
there's some of them sticking, some of them is just... Like, matter of fact, let me tell you, these are two of them that are more known. Like, me and my wife was having, she was laughing, she chuckled at me because I was throwing up, getting confused with Kalani Jordan, and then Kiana James. and believe it or not, those are the people that I know more about, and I keep confusing their names. Like, just, hey man, don't feel bad. I don't know why it's like that, but it's like that.
See, it's bad. Afterwards, Hale declared the old fear was back and done with the drama. It won't last.
All she did was run around in a circle, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. and then I can't even remember her name, who's with Blade and Anofi now. It was like, you're nicking my gimmick. And she's like, no, it's my... Oh, don't worry. Riley Osborne celebrated with Hale, finding herself again, so to speak. No quarter catch crew. Taunted Osborne until Nathan Fraser and Action gave him some backup. We then get Sean Spears versus Ridge Holland. I'm not saying Ridge is dangerous in the ring, but did you see the marks on Sean Spears? I mean, and this was only like a 5-minute match. My God.
They went in there that long.
Spears wanted anger. Don't get me wrong. And when he brought up Holland's wife, it finally unleashed that anger. The big man chokeslammed him through the announce table. He grabbed Spears' steel chair, but the referee took it away. The heel took advantage. Hit a C4 on the seat for the win. And just so you know, Monty, I want to get your thoughts, but I do take back the joke about his wife.
right. No, I see somebody live tweeting. I don't want to give them credit. They may not want credit for this. But I thought it was a good joke, and I got that type of sense of humor, and they was like, but what the hell did he say? Come on, man. But that's my point, though. When you lead into this stuff, you're going to invite people to start thinking about some of the little, that's the stuff that's not gimmick, the stuff that's not wrestling related, you know, the accident. But it is what it is. I don't mind it. Like you said, I think, honestly, remember what you said earlier about Ariana? You know, I think we might have another team here or something. Maybe Spears is make it a faction of people who don't want to be as aggressive as they real truly are. They don't want to be themselves. But yeah, that's all you have to do. If you want Ridge Holland to hurt you purposefully, talk about his wife. I think it makes sense, to be honest.
Well, she is a bad parent, but we'll move on. Trick does close the show.
Watch your mouth. Next NXT update. You come in with recording with a sling or something.
No, it's not that. It'll be like, hello, I'm Ridge Holland. I'm hosting this week. My podcast now. Trick. I've been moved on. Anyway, Trick Williams told Kamala Hayes that he was not on Trick's level after what he did. He challenged Mello to a match, only to be interrupted by Metaphor, who mocked him. Now Dahl wanted to get his momentum back, but taking Trick's hype, he challenged him to a match next week. A fight broke out. As far as he ended with Trick and Lash legend lip-locked. Monty, what is this about? They're like rabbits.
Yeah, man. You know, the internet, it's so bad that the internet pretty much got their own rumor mill about the NXT locker room at this point. So weeks before I even heard about this, it was rumors. Because of what they were doing, they were talking a lot on Instagram. So people were piecing together that maybe, just maybe, these two people who were originally linked to other people outside of the Performance Center are now dating. So I don't know. I don't know the specifics. We don't know. No one's confirmed anything. It's also nobody's business. But going off this segment, when this is basically unprovoked, this is not much teasing whatsoever, but let's just say Lash enjoyed being close to Trick a hell of a lot better than she enjoyed with Otis.
they stopped that gimmick.
But yeah, this was fun. Good fun. I didn't place it. It's one of those things you don't expect. But it definitely got the internet talking, man.
Well, I'm saying you know Trick, you know, you wonder who the biggest star in NXT is, and Trick doing this is probably bigger news than it was.
Also, fellas, the previous week. If you're not Trick Williams and you're not the biggest star, don't you dare try. That only works for a select few
people. And it works for top baby face. You wouldn't see anybody.
Right.
But, again, it's interesting to think as well, like the difference from what it was, you know, because they always said with wrestlers on the road was a bad idea anyway. And that was back when there wasn't the amount of women wrestlers there are now, and especially the way they look. I mean, if you're married outside of the business and going to like the NXT or the main roster locker room, then you are in serious trouble. You can see why things do happen now. But anyway, move on. Mm-hmm. Last episode, March 19th, and we start with Roxanne Perez versus Tatum Paxley. Paxley attacked Rox with all her anger, but was simply outmatched. The Prodigy hit Pop Rox into a crossface for a quick submission. She then called out Ava. Instead, Lyra arrived with her left arm in a sling, ready to fight. Perez ripped off the sling and trapped the Valkyrie in a crossface until officials intervened. Afterwards, it was announced that they will face each other at Stand and Deliver after it confirmed that the champ was clear. Now, this is a proper build-up. Something I think maybe Ilya and Tony is lacking from as well. And like I said, this is going to be a big match. We wondered why it was taking place at whatever the last event was called now. I can't pretend to remember. It's not Deadline, but...
Vengeance Day, right?
Vengeance Day, there you go. Thank God someone's paying attention. But again, we are getting a proper one, so to speak, at Stand and Deliver.
Exactly. We're getting a proper one, I think. And this is, like you said, this doesn't have the underlying. They also got, since they got rid of Lola's briefcase situation, they don't have that underlying, ooh, you know, someone may cash in type of thing. You don't have to worry about that. You know, so that was an underlying thing that was under the first match that I think you don't have to even think about now. You have like you said, just the entire build so far, you know, possibly. The change in Roxanne's character, I think, has just been the thing. Thing is, I don't know what's been in the writing rooms for WWE or whatever, but they've done a really good job with their heel turns. I think Bayley's suffering from it, or not suffering, but she's benefiting because after her heel turn, all the bad stuff she's done with Damage Control, the fact that the baby faces have remembered that and they're not just teaming up with her because she's all of a sudden, you know, against Damage Control. No. You know, you're going to have to start trying to, you know, do. And then the only person who is someone who hasn't been around, you know. So it makes sense for her to still be kind of sympathetic. But I love that. The same thing with Drew McIntyre. Say what you want about him, but a lot of the reason why he's been on fire, or a lot of the reason why a lot of his stuff worked, is because a lot of this stuff is truth that maybe the fans who are backing their favorites don't want to necessarily hear. But he's been leaning into that perfectly. And I think everything that Roxanne said in her promo, where she turned kind of officially, and the thing about taking Lyra's arm out, all of it has been smart. And everything she said has been right on the money. She's justified. And I think those a lot of times are the heels that don't necessarily stay heels all the time. But I think they got a lot of stuff. I was worried because Roxanne is so good at garnering sympathy. She's so good as a babyface. I was like, would she ever be able to play it? And I think she's done a great job so far of making me believe that, no, she can be pretty vicious. And they're doing a good job so far of establishing it. And will she be able to finish it by putting away the champion at Stand and Deliver? And I think that's another great thing about this build is you can make the case for both. You can make the case that Lyra has been a great champion and she can retain. And, you know, I think that's kind of like where we at with the Dragunov thing. The Dragunov thing, in my opinion, is no matter how you slice it, no matter what they do over the next few weeks, I don't think anyone wants Dragunov to lose to Tony D. And I think, you know, maybe even if they do a screw job angle, we're all going to still be scratching our heads where it's like, I don't know about this. But when it comes to Roxanne, if she wins, I don't think you can honestly be mad at it. And then even with the way the Lyra Valkyrie has been treated so far. I don't think I'll be mad if she was to pull it off. That's the epitome of a really great world title build, in my opinion.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, Josh Briggs stomped to the ring to call out over Femi for his vicious tackle, Brooks Jensen. Femi confidently agreed to fight Briggs, but Dijak arrived to claim his title shot, and Bro broke out until officials intervened. In the locker room, Sean Spears talked big about his philosophy on pride. He did not see Joe Gacy creeping behind him, smiling. NXT showed a video from Ridge Holland. He said he would go what everyone want. He would do what everyone wanted him to. He said, saying, "I'm not really paying attention."
What is that, by the way? What is everything? What do you want, Ridge Holland? So he's gonna go away? Like, what is it? What does he want? What does he think people want from him?
I honestly am not sure. Well, we did see Aaron and Grace begin a Gigi Jones evolution as Miss NXT in training. Fallon Henley tried to calm down Jensen, who said he felt lost. So they agreed to help Kalani Jordan to get revenge against Kiana James and Izzy Dame. Near the end of the night, Henley and Jordan brawled with James and Dane. And then number one contendership qualifier, Nathan Fraser in Axiom versus Charlie Dempsey and Miles Bourne. Fraser won with Phoenix Splash on Bourne, while Axiom knocked out Dempsey with a Golden Ratio. They really should have a team name, Monty. What are you thinking? Saint Flying Catch Crew or something like that?
Right. Yeah, something like that, man. You know, the Airborne Catch Crew. I don't know what you just any. Yeah, something with the air, and then definitely got to be a crew or a catch or a club. Got to be maybe a club. You know, something like
that. It's club clutch, flying crew, mouse man crew, or something like this.
Yeah, mouse, because Axiom likes mouse.
He does, yeah. Well, we get Alpha Academy interrupted. Metaphor argument backstage about Trick Williams. Maxine Dupri challenged Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker to face Otis and Cesaro next week to earn a spot at Stand and Deliver. Von Wagner tried to calm Mr. Stone, who was not happy about Wagner carrying him out of the ring last week. So Ruka beat Brindley Reese. Afterwards, Blair Davenport struck laying out so Ruka. Tony D promised to win the NXT Championship at Stand and Deliver. When Jagannath popped up on the Titantron, Don interrupted to advise him he'd face the underboss Stacks next week. There's nothing more scary than having to face Stacks in his monthly match, Monty.
Yeah, man. Then you have Tony D possibly challenging for his biggest match ever. Man, this is just dangerous, bro. It's dangerous. I love that they're consistent about their booking, too. They're very consistent. It don't ever give you more than one match. A couple backstage segments, one match, pay-per-view time.
Exactly. Again, I do apologise about the beeping. I thought it turned off and then another one has started. So, again, we'll just see what happens here. Osborne and Hale agreed to
I hope
be
y'all
friends
okay,
again.
Man.
I will be fine. I can hear running about, so everything's all right.
You're screaming. And
hey, we've got to get through this, all right? It's you know, the show must go on. It's gone absolutely. I've actually got people running in front of me trying to stop the sound. This is funny. Osborne and Hale agreed to be friends again. Your usual bubbly self at ringside along Duke Hudson and Andre Chase. Riley Osborne shocked Drew Gulak, representing No Court Catch Crew, with a round one decision. With a shooting star press, Gulak responded with a surprise pin trap in round two for the first fall. It was nice to have British representation, I suppose. Jace Jane arrived with Jaxman Nix to distract Fear Hale, who Duke Hudson barely stopped from attacking them both. Nix got physically involved, setting up Gulak to fall into Osborne into round four for the deciding fall. What were your thoughts on this, Monty?
I really miss Noam Dar in these type of matches. No, this was not bad. Like you said, this was pretty solid stuff. I think Gulak is a good choice to be in this match again. I'm going to say it every bleeping time because it's just frustrating to me that they decided to do catch rules. Maybe it's just a way to give different people time. I also thought since they chose Gulak, it's like, does that mean Osborne need help or need more work in the ring because it's a guy like Gulak? Because I kind of look at Gulak in that role of, you know, he's teaching or you know what I mean? So, like, maybe, you know, is that why instead of giving him Dempsey or Bourne or even Kemp, I guess, why would you do that? But that could lean more to say that the other two ain't ready, And the only choices you're going to actually get in these matches is probably going to be Gulak or Dempsey. I don't know. I just really wish it was only Dempsey. But this match itself, there was nothing wrong with it. I didn't have a problem with the match. I thought it was a pretty cool, solid stuff. I didn't care for the involvement of the people outside of it. It's just, I just wasn't really a fan of all of the extra stuff that was kind of went into the finish. I guess I should have expected it because that's what Chase U has pretty much become now. But, yeah, you know, again, it is what it is. Different format. I guess this is what the cup is going to look like without Noam Dar, man. It's going to probably be hit or miss depending on who's in it.
Yeah, I think you're right about it. It'll be interesting to see. You know, as long as Gulak and we don't try Damon Kemp for a while, you know, or even Miles Bourne, we should be all right. Number one contendership qualifier, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, easily beat Hank and Tank. Now, this is the thing I was going to ask you, because I'm going off Gallows and Anderson over the past, what, 10 years? Maybe 5 years, you know, Impact run and before that. I don't rate them. I just think they're there for a check. Obviously, I know with Carl Anderson might be a bit different. But what are your thoughts on the Good Brothers?
Yeah, Carl, I think at this, Carl is trying, to be fair, at this stage. It seems like he really is trying. He's gotten in some pretty good shape. I don't know if the inactivity is just showing that he got a lot more. Maybe he just want to show that he got more in the tank. I think they kind of, not necessarily got in a bad rap. I think they got a deserved rap for the TNA run and for some of the stuff they were doing at AEW and how it just seemed like they were just going wherever they could to get a check, and maybe they're trying to change that now. I was looking at Gallows, the way Gallows moves sometimes, just like I don't know how much left like Gallows necessarily got at this point. But I know in the past, like you said, if you're just going off the last 5 years, completely fair, 100%. In the past, based on what I know what Gallows and Anderson can do, like especially in their New Japan run in the early to mid-2010s, before they kind of came to WWE, the initial time before they got fired, I think, you know, they definitely have some of that in them. But I think if you're looking for them to be an important tag team to where they were, I don't know if they can do that together. But can they be the catalyst for things to come? Can something come to freshen them up in NXT? I'm really hopeful that that's where we're going. And it's not just a straight up, let's just give them another run at it as the same old Good Brothers. Hopefully something can come to kind of give it a freshness, especially since they don't seem to be associated with AJ right now, or maybe they're done with AJ. So I'm interested to see. But I think Carl, like you said, Carl seems to be motivated. I think he's fine. Gallows, I don't know how much left that they have to do, but not rating them or thinking that not much of them because of what they've done, I don't blame you one bit. They've done that at times in Japan. They did it, like you said, in AEW. They didn't do well in Impact or didn't do much for anyone else in Impact. And, you know, so I definitely don't blame anybody for having that opinion of them. But, you know, never know. Maybe they can get down to NXT and drink some of the Corbin juice, you know, or if you go the other route.
In a way. We don't want, Corbin juice might be something different, but we don't know. Main event anyway, Noam Dar versus Trick Williams. For his match, Trick warned Melo that he would attack him if he saw him tonight. Chikira Jackson struggled to keep Lash Legend focus on rooting for Dar. Dar and Williams were on the ropes. Noam Dar had Trick Williams on the ropes, especially after distraction from Lash Legend. However, Trick caught Dar with surprise. Trick shot for the win. Immediately after the match, Trick called out Melo. Hey, snuck in as a member of his own security. How did they get that idea? I had it a couple of weeks previously, starting a brutal 4-1 beatdown on his former friends. What were your thoughts on this? Could we talk about other wrestlers stepping up and Dar stepping up into the main event scene?
Yeah, and I think we talked about this earlier about, like, even if you do decide to give a D'Angelo, because, again, I think we, like I mentioned earlier about Lyra, Dragunov, we've been saying for a while, he could definitely be called up. He's ready. But I don't know if him losing D'Angelo, I don't necessarily know if it's the time, but I do think Noam Dar is a great guy to have to step into this spot because, like we said, we have a situation where we have Dijak, we have Melo Trick, we have a couple guys that just seem like they are taken way more seriously than the rest of the roster. And I think it'll be cool to add a guy like a Noam Dar, add some of these other talent that's around the roster to that picture even if they don't necessarily win at first, just to have them mentioned in that picture is really, really cool. And so I'm definitely all for this in this situation. It was a nice time to actually see Melo, I mean, see Trick in this situation against a different person like a Noam Dar. I think they did pretty well with what they were given in this TV match format. The segment after, it was cool. Again, like you mentioned, not only was that the idea stolen, I'm going to be honest with you, the fair, as soon as I watched it, I spotted Melo. And I'm like, maybe I paid too much attention to how Melo looks. But, yeah, man, I knew
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw
like,
the tattoo.
Cool.
I was like, I
saw the tattoo. He was a little shorter than the other security. I'm like, why would you need short security? Like, I love Melo, but you don't need usually get someone who's huge. But I'm like, whatever. Maybe I'm tripping. Then it was even worse when they brought the guy who was pretending to be him out. I was like, nah, that's not Melo. Sorry. Don't. Not at all. So, yeah.
Great, yeah.
But the attack worked out well. Like you mentioned, you know, it did kind of make Trick look a little blind, but we'll let that go. Baby faces have a lot of faults. that's what makes them baby face. They have to be relatable. But yeah, man, this is cool. This is cool. Great, great. Next logical step in their feud. Good to see Noam Dar, like at least maybe some direction, maybe pass that and deliver. Noam Dar can be challenging for the world title against maybe a Dragon off. I wouldn't mind that, you know, if depending on what they're willing to give Noam Dar. I would love to see, can Noam Dar turn the Goofy off? Because Dragunov is going to make him turn it off. Dragunov is going to make him turn it off if they were to have a feud. But that's assuming that he can survive D'Angelo. So who knows, man? But this is good. This is a good logical step. But I'm really eager to see, are we just going to do, what are we going to do? Are we going to add a stipulation to the Trick Melo situation? Will it be a loser leave NXT? But that'll kind of spoil everything, I think. You probably shouldn't do that. But, you know, again, I'm really interested to see where we go from here, so I think that's a good place to be.
Well, this is the question I asked you then. What are your thoughts on NXT as we head to Stand and Deliver?
That's like you mentioned, the air, the energy around each episode, it feels different, feels, for the most part, almost everything here feels important. And even if it doesn't feel important right now, you can kind of see that we're heading towards something. The only kind of downsides I have maybe is the fact that we have catch rules surrounding the cup. I would prefer it to be Charlie. And then also the fact that the Chase U storyline and the turn of JC Jane just literally right out. It's another thing too, man. We're like 2 weeks outside of her selling the magazines. Like, again, she did all of that work just to turn back into a bully. Makes no sense to me. I would say give it time, but to be honest, Chase U and their entire, even when you want to go with the will they, won't they, with Osborne, like the romance stuff with, you know, and all of that. Think about how much TV time Chase U has taken away from possible other things that we could see a little bit more of. And that's the only thing I'll say about that. I'm not really too pro that, but it hasn't been bad either. That's the thing. Nothing so far on television, in my opinion, even if I don't agree with it or like or know where they're going, because even the Von Wagner stuff is like, okay, you know, where are we heading at there? But I don't hate it. It hasn't been bad. It hasn't been unwatchable. So I think we're revving things up. I'm cool with the women's feud for the women's title. I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to see what else they decide to build around the stand and deliver card. Like, where are we going with some of these other talents that we've been seeing featured a lot? Will there be other matches? Seems like we're going to get a multi-man match, maybe a ladder match for Obafemi's belt. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall here. But, yeah, man, it just seemed like a really exciting time to be watching NXT, and I can't wait to see how Stand and Deliver turns out. I want to see what the card turns out to be, and I can't wait to see what the results end up being, because, honestly, you can make a case. I can even make a far-out-there case for Tony D, and I wouldn't want it. But like, that's where I'm at now, and I feel like if you can convince yourself to that point, I think you're doing a pretty good job building up at least a compelling show.
Yeah, without doubt. Well, I'm gonna have to leave the building now, so that is basically it. Don't forget, of course, all social media, Twitter at the WNR Podcast, at WNRJR. You can find the entire WNR team on the Twitter banner. Monty, you just plug your stuff quickly whilst I back up around me.
Yeah, at my WhatsApp pod on on Twitter. We set the roof on fire, I guess, literally, in James's building. This is a great show. I just hope everyone's okay, because if not, I have talked about something so unimportant through an emergency.
We are in serious trouble. It's fine.
God damn it. Wow. At my Munchie Pod, man. Just look me up, click the link in my bio, and keep up with me.
This is a classic NXT update now. You see how it happens? Like, we will never forget this one. Double up also on Facebook, Instagram, across all Google platforms. Send us an email at doublepodcast@gmail.com. We also expand onto Reddit, but I'll talk about it next time. And YouTube, done podcast with all latest clips. Podcast got the same time you should do SoundCloud on your phone. Also, Spotify and iTunes, where you can download, subscribe, rate, and review there. So that is it. Our next episode is in 2 weeks. The WNR doubleheader, night one, is fun, games, and the Hall of Fame. Until then, I've been James Rowlands, and I was joined by the mind of Monty. Monty, as everything falls around me, you are my pillar. Thank you very much for joining.
Which one? Darby? Jack? Sammy? No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, I'm shaking.
Don't worry. Am I Jack? Am I Sammy? Am I suspended right now? Like, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully there is a next show, guys. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, me too. If we're back in 2 weeks, then you know everything's fine. All right, that's it.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. Well, we got through it. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.